Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM. We'll talk Commanders with Mitch Tischler at 10:30 from the Beltway Football Podcast, talking all things Commanders. Tischler alongside J.P. Finley from 106.7 The Fan. We'll break down the Kentucky Derby with Matt Valdez from the Sports Junkies at 11:30. Before we get into this Commanders topic, let's squeeze in one more phone call here. Let's go out to line one. We've got C in D.C. What's up, man? You're on the phone with AWOD.
Hey, I don't know how long you've been a Wizards fan, but I live in L.A. now, and I see how real organizations move by watching the Commanders as well. And this is a farm team for the NBA. And I don't know, somebody should be investigating this, but how do you give away everybody that you got? We gave away Gafford. He went to the finals. Why are you trying to build a team and you're giving away people that, you know, should be here? And
to be honest with you, have you been paying attention to Michael Winger and Will Dawkins here? Because they have turned it around. And they got rid of Gafford, but Bradley Beal, I mean, that was a fantastic trade looking back now. Kyle Kuzma, that's a massive trade right now after he just no-showed for the Milwaukee Bucks. I mean, you can talk about Daniel Gafford, but they've made some really fantastic moves to get a great young core.
To get Middleton? What are we going to do with Middleton?
They're going to ship him out. They're going to ship him out. They're not going to keep him around here.
Well, that's what I said. Why are we the purgatory for the league? Why are we the place that people, when they don't want you, you come here? Jordan Poole should definitely not be here. That Jordan Poole could be in any place in the NBA balling out.
Right. So you gotta fill out a roster, and you have to pay people. So you have to fill out the roster. So they had to get somebody that was worth some money, Jordan Poole. They have to pay somebody, Chris Middleton, Marcus Smart, eat up that role here. But this is what I called it. This was an ethical tank, dude. They finished last place, 18-64, an awful season. They're going to have a chance to get the number one overall pick. But the positives, Bub Carrington was awesome. He could be our point guard of the future. Keyshawn George showed that he can be a 3-and-D. Alex Sarr could be your starting center. There was a lot of positives in a year that you had 64 freaking losses.
I mean, I just don't think that if we get the number one pick, I think that the best thing for Cooper Flagg is to get away from D.C. He's definitely not going to come here. I wouldn't come here if I was him.
I think you're thinking in the past, bro. We're talking about new D.C. that has number two overall picks, Jaden Daniels, Dylan Cruz, and then Cooper Flagg, and all of a sudden D.C. pro sports are going to be something to mess with once again here. I think it is time to grab Cooper Flagg because you actually do have a young core that can build around him.
I don't think that in the next 10 years we'll be anything better than the Gilbert. We'll be anywhere better than the Gilbert era.
No, see, so, I think that's where you're wrong.
I put money on that.
All right, tweet me at AWOD Radio. I'm willing to put up to $50 that this team does better than Gilbert's team, and that's because I believe in Michael Winger and Will Dawkins doing this the right way. They never bottomed out completely with Gilbert, never to get the number one overall pick until it was after that era with John Wall. They bottomed out completely now and are building their way back up the right way. They're they're doing this the way Oklahoma City and the Houston Rockets have. Oh, yeah, number 1 and 2 team in the Western Conference this season.
All right, we'll see. But, yeah, I'll definitely be tweeting you. But, I mean, you know, I live in a place where I see real champions and I see how they build real teams from scratch.
What champion did you watch with J.J. Redick lose in the first round in L.A.? What are you watching?
I'm not talking about Jake. They still won a championship in the last 5 years, though.
The bubble championship does not count. It does not count, dude. Come on now.
All right.
Thanks, hey, good call, man. I appreciate you chiming in, man.
You too. All right, thanks.
Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067, 1-800-636-1067. Telling Cooper Flagg not to come to D.C. Not on my airwaves. Come on, see? Come on now. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. All right, I'll set up the topic here, all right? The Washington Commanders, the draft class from Adam Peters, what grade are you giving it? Here's my take. For Adam Peters' 2025 NFL draft class, when you mention his draft class for 2025, you have to mention wide receiver Deebo Samuel. You have to mention Laremy Tunsil. Washington traded a fifth-round draft choice for Deebo Samuel this year. They traded for Laremy Tunsil and gave up the third-round draft pick and got Houston's fourth round. Those were picks from this season. So I'm including those in the five selections that Adam Peters made, and with that, I am giving them an A- for the 2025 NFL draft class. Starter, Deebo Samuel. Starter, Laremy Tunsil. Starter, Josh Connerly Jr. Starter, Trey Amos. Starter, Jalen Lane. That's starters across the board. And here was my take about the draft, all right? Adam Peters had a very difficult job. Number one, last year he had number 2 overall in every freaking round. I mean, that changes everything. 2 overall versus 29 every single round. But number 2, there was no sense for Adam Peters to ever draft anybody that was a project, that was going to be a development. That's why this draft class I thought was so hard for Adam Peters to nail down. He could not reach for an edge rusher that might be good in 2 years. He could not reach for a linebacker that will eventually take over for Bobby Wagner in 2 years. The draft class had to take advantage of the window opportunity, which is now, to win right now with Jaden Daniels, all right, and the guys that you have on the roster right now. So I think the whole point of every draft pick that he made was best player available who can play and start and play meaningful snaps on the field in January for postseason football, because damn it, that's our goal. And so the point was not to get any projects, no development players, no reaching at all. We're just going to sit back here, and we're going to attempt to trade and acquire more picks if we can, but if not, best player available. And they got two guys that could have been first-round picks, and that in several mocks were first-round picks, and Jalen Lane, I'm going to tell you, I think we got a starting punt returner immediately. I think he could develop into a kick returner as well. And I covered Virginia Tech this year, and Kyren Drones was not very accurate for most of this season. As much as I like Kyren Drones, and he's going to probably start for the Hokies next season once again, and it's a big season for Coach Pry and the Hokies, but Jalen Lane, the way they got him the ball was screen passes, reverses, end-arounds, and then he made people miss, right? But they never really threw the deep ball to him, the intermediate route. It was tough at times for Drones and Lane to really connect on a consistent basis. But this guy can run like a 4-3. He can make people miss. He's shifty. I think he can come in and do what De'Ami Brown did last season for Washington. That kind of an upside. And like I'm saying, he's going to be your special team starter, I think, day one. So that's a massive get in the fourth round. And then, you know, Josh Connerly Jr., it's two birds with one stone there, because now Coleman can slide inside and he can go on the outside. And now you already had Tunsil at left tackle. And then Amos I love, because that's another thing where I think it shifts around the defense, because if Amos successfully can be an outside press corner, and then Sainer still can move to the inside, and maybe you can trust Lattimore on the other outside spot at corner. So I do think that in terms of the 22 players that will start week one, I think Adam Peters, from what we had last year week one, and you got to remember, last year week one, Emmanuel Forbes and Benjamin St. Juste on the outside, and Mike Evans and the Bucs scored 37 points. It wasn't the same when we got to the postseason, right, because the roster had changed. But from week one last year to week one this year, I think we've got at least five, maybe up to seven upgrades across the 22 starters, 11 offensive, 11 defensive. What grade would you give Adam Peters for the 2025 draft class? Phone lines are open. 1-800-636-1067. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio, 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 in Richmond, 910 AM, 105.1 FM, always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. Support me during the week on the Odyssey app, Monday through Friday from 12 to 3 in Richmond, or download the podcast, AWOD Radio and Best of AWOD Radio, available on iTunes, Spotify, or the free Odyssey app. And we've been talking Commanders, but we did have a heated discussion with a caller last segment about the Wizards drafting Cooper Flagg, and I have a caller that wants to chime in about that debate as well. So let's go right to the phone lines right now. We've got Andre in Upper Marlboro. What's up, Andre? How are you?
Hey, what's up, fellas? First, I'm going to start off with the Commanders as far as the grade in the draft, but it's not just the grade in the draft. It's a grade overall since we got new ownership and executive. I got to give them a based on where they draft. Now, to relate it to the Wizards, that last caller is like, I think we got lucky with the ownership that bought the Commanders and the draft, the quarterback we did, and to be a game away from the Super Bowl. Now, to go back to the Wizards, he's talking about Gafford as if this is the second coming of us getting rid of Ben Wallace, Rasheed Wallace, and Richard Hamilton, and these guys going on to win the championship. I think folks are missing it. It's like we got a young core, finally, of athleticism, and all I see is the upside to these young guys. Now, how far they get, that's going to be on them. but at least give the organization and management time to make their moves and just make the team better. I mean, so far it looks like things are turning around for D.C., the Nets, the hockey team, the football team. Give the Wizards some time, man. Of course, I remember when we won a championship, but at least give the team time to make correct moves and do it correctly.
And what do you think about him saying the best thing for Cooper Flagg's career would be not coming to D.C.?
You can say that about anybody that's a perennial player. But somebody has to come here. I mean, we're not – of course, we've been sorry for a while, so we can only harp on our team. But there have been other teams in the same situation that once they got it right, they got a young core, and then what you guys were discussing, based on the fact of – where we're picking in the first round and it being protected at least to the fifth. I was like, come on, man. I mean, a lot of Wizards to make some moves, man. I mean, I'm dying to hear Bullets fever all over again, but I'm not going to say nothing dumb like that. You get the first pick and you don't pick Cooper Flagg, I think that would be a big mistake.
Yeah, and I think he would be successful here because, as we talked about, Andre, they have built out a young core that can play with him and grow with him. And I just think that what Michael Winger and Will Dawkins have done, you know, the record looks bad, but they did that on purpose.
And plus, I like Cooper Flagg, man. Like, when I seen the piece on him, I was like, this is a humble dude. This is who we need in D.C., somebody that could come here and don't get swallowed up by this, what would I call these, the big city, small city thing. I don't think we have to worry about that with him. I think he's committed to the sport and the fact that he's so humble. We don't have to worry about off-the-court things. I think people are tripping, man.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Hey, make sure, what is it, next Sunday or the Sunday after that, you flush the ice cubes down the toilet so we can win the ping-pong battle, all right?
Man, I'm right with y'all, man. All right.
Good call, Andre. I appreciate you chiming in. All right, let's change gears back to the Commanders here. I appreciate Andre having my back from CNDC saying Cooper Flagg shouldn't come to D.C., but let's get into the Commanders here. I'm giving them an 8- for this draft class, and I truly feel like you have to mention Laremy Tunsil and Deebo Samuel because they would have had two more picks in this draft if it wasn't for those guys. And, oh, yeah, they're going to play and start meaningful snaps this year. We're all in for this year. Let's try to win it all this year. The future is now for the Commanders. No projects in the draft. Let's go to Elijah in D.C. on line two. Elijah, what's up, man?
What's going on? I think Adam Peters and the staff, they did an amazing job. And one thing that sticks out to me is player profile consistency. All of these profiles, athletically, they line up and they're leaders. What you're saying is if I can get guys with elite traits or guys that tested the highest at their positions, when my coaches get an opportunity to work with them, man, I think this is going to be an amazing season, especially offensively and defensively. But I want to touch on offense for a second. When you have – because football is a numbers game. You got the short side of the field and the long side of the field. When you have a 4-3 guy, other guys that you may not think would produce can produce even more. Man, I think it can get wild. When you start putting Terry McLaurin, this 4-3 speed, Laremy Tunsil, certain guys, Deebo, we got guys in the draft that they're going to be able to run them a lot because they didn't get a bunch of bump. Main man in the seventh round, when you see how Crockett, of course, I can't remember his name, how Crockett is moving. I'm thinking about guys along with the team. Don't think of them as individuals. Put them on your squad.
Yeah.
Elijah, Daniels.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. So Ja'Cory, Kroski, Merritt, and Kane Medrano, feels like you're pointing to those guys as, hey, those are the profile of athletes that they might be a seventh or a sixth round pick, but we could turn them into something.
That's what they're doing. You're seeing trusted coaching. You're seeing really good scouting, and you're seeing guys, when you look at the tape, it's almost like it's sped up in certain traits. A complete picture is fine, but you see when you're stringing these guys, you put them along with the guys that you already have. Jaden Daniels is going to be so much more dangerous when you have your back, because you have to respect
the rotation. Defensively, you're going to have to move and respect the speed. Okay, Zach Ertz is going this way. Oh, 3-4-3 kids going this way. Debo going this way. Now you have Jaden Daniels, who understands the game. He's not just trying to use his leg because he doesn't know what he wants to do. He's going to be making teams – not he, excuse me. The team is going to be making – guys, no one wants to look foolish on Sunday. And I think they're building this team to make you look silly trying to stop them. Because you're going to have to – you play underneath – them linebackers, they're going to have to choose. You're going to have to make those decisions. So either you playing up or either you playing back. So when you have those choices, you have to decide, could Debo, okay, this is a run. I'm out of my run fit. I'm out of my lane. And now there's an edge. And now Jaden can decide to do whatever he wants. How many times have we seen him on third and whatever or certain downs that just seems like it may be a bust? This is a team that when they run around, this is why they got all this athletic offensive linemen coming in. Nah, dude, when they hold his ball, when they able to push guys and push guys around and really manipulate the eyes of a defense, that's how you're going to get Philly off their game defensively. Bro, you got Cooper DeJean and the line. There's a lot of different speed going on. So you're going to have to be able to window dress accordingly to be able to get some stuff. The running game will help because, guys, it's okay. We need to play back because we don't want to get beat deep. Now in the underneath game happens. Or, okay, we don't want Jaden Daniels to beat us on this down because we know he can be running down the field on a 4th-and-3. They can score on you. Yeah. So Washington
– Elijah, the thing is when you make defenses think, they make mistakes. They want to react.
Oh,
my God. You make
them
think, that's when they make mistakes.
Man, and I know you got to cut me loose. Defensively – I want you, man, we got to touch on this undrafted free agent class. If Shador Sanders slipped to the 5th, chances are other guys went in places they shouldn't have gone. I was saying on the radio yesterday, man, we were talking about defensive ends. If your cornerbacks aren't in line and you don't have guys putting hands on receivers early, disrupting the timing, I don't care who you got on that line, bro. No one gets a free lunch. And if they could just say the line doesn't end at the defensive ends, the line of scrimmage is always over to the corners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if we getting guys that's putting hands all the way across the line early, then we can see what's going on because the quarterback will have to that's not open yet. Now we can see who we have on the line, and that's now moving to the Wizards. They're doing the same thing. You build a young core before you do anything. You build your young core out so the guys can play together. It's got to be a certain type of way that they got to go about this.
Yeah.
Young core. I'm glad that Washington is having the success they're having early, so the Wizards can really see what's actually happening. What's what? How do you handle a high profile player? What does he need? What does he not need? These are really important things that is really good to have in this city and success with the Caps. And the success with the Commanders and the teams are coming around. Man, if Cooper Flagg comes to D.C., that's another cog when it comes to the overall outlook on D.C. sports and the respect that we get as a town. Come on, dog.
Elijah, I could let you cook all day, man. I love the energy. Thanks so much, man.
You know how we do. We'll get up soon, buddy. Appreciate the call.
Yep, thanks for chiming in, man. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. What would you grade the Commanders draft class? Mitch Tischler will chime in next from the Beltway Football Podcast when we return on The Fan.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Welcome back. What up, what up, what up? It's AWOD. Time to get up and at 'em. I'm Adam Epstein. This is AWOD Radio, live and local here on DC Sports Radio. 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980 here on a Saturday, May 3rd. And we've been talking about the Commanders. We're efforting to get Mitch Tischler right now, but let's go to the phone lines. 1-800-636-1067. What grade would you give Adam Peters for the 2025 draft class? We've got Nick in La Plata. What's going on, Nick?
not since Bobby Bethard, man, have I been comfortable. Bobby Bethard, I think he had one bad pick, Torrey Nixon. I don't know if you remember that. That's the only thing I can remember. But the people we have now, I have so much trust in them, and I really shouldn't because it's only been 1 year. But the way we're rolling, we got an offensive lineman, they say can play quarterback, running back, or receiver. I mean, we got a punt returner. When was the last time we had a real punt returner, a real
right.
one?
Right.
And Josh Connerly, if they're right about him, I'd like to know what the rules are. Why wouldn't he be able to come in on every play, go to the referee, and qualify himself as a tackle eligible? That would drive the defense crazy after a while. And that'd be an extra, you know, extra valve. To get,
yeah. Hey, to I get mean, Jaden Daniels' first ever touchdown pass was thrown to Trent Scott, a tackle.
Yeah, that's the trivia question of the century. Yeah, yep. I'm telling you, man, we got so much going on. And the fellow that was on a few minutes ago, his energy, like you said, man, and you let him talk, man. You know something? That's real important to people that are sitting at home. They love hearing themselves, first of all. I know I do. And if you have a good call, you feel even better. And you let people talk, man. I really dig the shit. Really dig the stuff you do, man, on the show.
And I appreciate that.
I'm a Redskins fan that goes back. I worked at RFK selling programs for 14 years, man. And wow. I don't want to hear about the stadium anymore. I don't want to hear anything until the deal's done. Some person that works with D.C. government is going to get an envelope in his doorway one night. And the doorbell's going to ring, and he's going to get his envelope, and we're going to get in. He's going to get to change his mind. But I'm just so happy. To have
hey, can you tell me something? Because that's really cool that you were working at RFK. Because I'm only 32 years old, so I really don't remember what was it like when it was rocking, when it was shaking, and they were winning conference championships there.
Look, man, it was a fever. Everybody, black, white, red, it didn't matter who you were. Jim, the news reporter on Channel 4, he died not too long ago. But
Jim Vance, yeah.
Jim Vance was in tears talking about walking down the street after we beat the Cowboys. Darryl Grant high-stepping in the end zone, Dexter Manley knocking the ball down. Man, it was almost having your entire family that you've known for 50 years standing next to you. Everybody was so happy. And here's something that people don't remember. A section of that stadium was metal seats. It was metal because of the baseball team. They used to push a button, and it would slide back. It would be a big, it would slide back, and you'd have left field. And then when football came, they'd push a button, and the metal seats would slide back in. When we got down in that end zone, between the 10 and 20-yard line, I believe, and when we got in that end zone, people would come from other sections. They'd bring their canes, anything, and they would bang on those metal seats. When you see that picture of the stadium moving, that's right there over top of the metal seats. It was the noise, and it's no way to explain it, man. The goosebumps are coming to me now. But I worked at Gate A for all those years, and I sold programs. I got a Wilbur Marshall jersey, and I put Pitbull on the back of it. And I sold programs there for Jim Halsey at the stadium store. And it was just a kid growing up in PG County.
That's awesome, Nick. I really appreciate you sharing this story, Nick. Thanks so much, man.
All right, buddy.
Take care, man. Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. Joining us right now on the Rude guest hotline, Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV from the Beltway Football Podcast, it's Mitch Tischler. What's going on, Mitch?
Not a whole lot. How are you, bud?
I'm good here. So my take today about the draft class has been I'm giving it an A-, and I don't think that it's right for people to talk about this year's draft class without mentioning Laremy Tunsil and Deebo Samuel. I'm including them in this year's draft class.
Listen, I think that there's a lot to be optimistic about. I like both Josh Connerly Jr. a lot and Trey Amos. I actually really love the Trey Amos pick. I think corner is the most underrated need that this team has, so I love that they addressed it. Overall, as a class, if you're including Laremy Tunsil and Deebo, I think, yeah, I can get myself to a B-plus or so with it. Listen, I think Josh Connerly is going to be a really good player. I like that they brought him in. I think you can look at what that does to solidify an offensive line. I just think it might have been a little bit of a luxury pick, and maybe that's because I'm a Brandon Coleman fan, and I think that he's going to be a good NFL player slash thought that he was going to develop into a good NFL tackle over there. But at the end of the day, they did a lot of good things there, and they're helping build this depth, which is something that this franchise doesn't have a whole lot of because they have 4 years of terrible drafts from the Ron Rivera era.
Well, Mitch, let's get some more details on the offensive line. And you know, I could be completely wrong on this, but it feels like what the Eagles did worked with Mekhi Becton, who's a tackle playing guard. Could Brandon Coleman maybe successfully do that for Washington? And you talk about Tunsil and then Coleman and Biotis, and then when Cosme returns and Connolly a right tackle, how much better is this offensive line than the one that started week one of last year?
Right. I think last year the offensive line, I think they got away with the offensive line, and part of that is the fact that Jaden Daniels is athletic as he is in the backfield. I do think you look at what this offensive line could be with Connolly starting on the right. If Brandon Coleman moves inside, that's a very, Eric Flowers-type move. We saw him in Washington a couple of years ago, Brandon Sheriff. We've seen tackles move inside the guard and be successful. And I think that ultimately that'll be the case with Brandon Coleman, because I do think that he's an athletic, good football player. And ultimately, I think Coleman at guard is super interesting when you look at the way Cliff Kingsbury's offense runs, with how much they ask their O-linemen to get downfield, not just in the screen game, but in the normal short passing game as well. And using as many of these athletic dudes as you can to kind of, build a wall for these receivers on those quick passes is great. And ultimately you're looking at, a guard position, particularly left guard, that wasn't great with Nick Allegretti. He was serviceable, but not great. And you hope that Brandon Coleman's able to step in and be great, or at least compete for that job and be great. I think, now you have a situation where Wiley or Trent Scott can step in at that right guard situation until Sam Cosmi comes back. And when Cosmi comes back and you look at that starting five, it's no longer, an okay group that is helped a lot by a super athletic quarterback. I think you're moving into a situation where maybe you have a good offensive line, and that should help the run game and everything else that this offense is trying to do.
How difficult is this going to be for Brandon Coleman to make this transition? And, is this something where, it's going to take some time? I mean, are we hoping that by, week eight, like, he's starting left guard? Or do you think he can earn that by the end of training camp?
Oh, yeah, I want this to be a week one starter for Brandon Coleman. Moving from tackle to guard is inherently easier because you're in a confined space at guard, and it's more about your quickness getting out of the stance and strength against some bigger defensive tackle, nose guard type players. The bigger concern for me, I think everyone's just writing in Connerly at right tackle, and I think ultimately he's going to be your starting right tackle. But moving from the left side to the right side, it gets talked about fairly often, isn't the easiest thing in the world. I mean, if you picked up a pencil and started trying to write lefty, that's not going to look particularly pretty right away. And when you talk about the athleticism and the kick steps and all the different things that tackles need to do, moving from left to right is a tough situation. It's similar to trying to learn to write with your other hand. And so I think Connerly is going to have the biggest transition of anyone on this offensive line, trying to learn that right side and get comfortable over there.
Will they ask him to maybe start at guard and take Cosme's place? Or will it be, hey, you compete with Wiley, you try to earn right tackle?
Oh, I think the hope is that Connerly takes the right tackle job, and Wiley's able to slide in a right guard until Cosme comes back. I think it's overlooked, but Trent Scott did a pretty good job when he had to fill in at guard as well. And I think you look at kind of that position, what I was saying with Brandon Coleman, about you're in a confined space, particularly when you get a bigger body in there, like some of these tackles are who are moving into guard, like you've mentioned, Mekhi Becton. You're able to use that size a little bit more than you do necessarily a tackle, where it's more about quickness, speed, strength. Interior is more about, quickness and strength and, getting up out of your stance and being able to play kind of between the center and tackle. I think, when you look at these tackles that move inside the guard, the toughest thing for them is to read a defensive line, read a linebacking core, reading a defense and figuring out who's coming from where and what their responsibilities are. Because when you're on the outside, you're more or less lined up with the guy, across from you, and you don't have to worry about as many stunts and twists and blitzes and all the different things that you see defenses do. So I think recognition is going to be a big part of, who's able to slide in at those guard positions and take over that role.
Mitch Tischler with us here on the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Check out Mitch Tischler with J.P. Finley for the Beltway Football Podcast. I want to go back to what you said earlier. It sounds like Trey Amos was your favorite pick. Why is that?
Yeah, Amos was my favorite pick. Listen, that corner group is pretty thin, and there's a lot of hope that Marshawn Lattimore is a player that, everyone hopes that he is. he can go back to that kind of all-pro style that he played when he was in New Orleans. But he had some very good games and some very bad games in Washington. And quite frankly, if Lattimore turns out to be the bad version of himself, who are your other starting corners, both in the slot and on the outside? So they needed to add some depth to that team. And Trey Amos is an interesting player because he has the size and the physicality to potentially match up with a A.J. Green type, or I mean, you know, any of these big receivers that they're going to run into across the league. And, you know, he's going to have to develop because it is a different game from college to pros. But he's shown that ability to be a jam corner, to be a big physical corner. And that's something that the Commanders struggled with last year and in years past, with trying to match up with some of these big receivers they're going to see across the ball.
Mitch, we'll close out with the frustration in the fan base that there was not an edge rusher selected. My thought is there will be a Noah Brown-type signing at the edge rusher position before the start of the regular season. What do you think about the edge rushers now and the possibility of, you know, a Za'Darius Smith or Von Miller late in the offseason?
I'd love to see a pass rush specialist come in and help out this group. But you look at what, you know, Dante Fowler did last year, and the 10.5 sacks was incredible. And I loved what we saw out of the kid for the most part on passing downs. The trouble was that he was kind of a liability in the run. And if you look at what, I mean, let's just keep talking about the Eagles because that's the team that, yeah, you know, the Commanders need to beat. You look at what Saquon Barkley did to the Commanders' defense on the ground, and they have to find a way to get edges who are more responsible in the run, that can set an edge, they can force a running back inside and get going that way. And to me, you know, the group that they have is kind of a low ceiling, high floor type group. So I think that, you know, they're not going to, I don't know that there's a double digit sack guy in there, but if they're more responsible in the run game and they're able to, you know, slow that down a little bit, then ultimately, you know, that's a win to me, because this team got gashed on the ground by teams that had good running games. And it didn't even matter that the secondary was struggling because they couldn't stop anybody on the ground. So to me, you've got to find a way to stop some of these running backs and find a way to play more solid defense in that capacity.
Mitch, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Absolutely happy to. Thanks so much.
Yep, that's our buddy Mitch Tischler from the Beltway Football Podcast. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on DC Sports Radio 106.7 The Fan, simulcast on the Team 980, and always available on the go with the free Odyssey app. And to our listeners in the DMV here, breaking news, Game 1 of the Capitals-Hurricanes series, Round 2 of the Eastern Conference Stanley Cup playoffs will be Tuesday night, Capital One Arena. Game time still to be determined, but the game will air on 106.7 The Fan. The Nats-Guardians game will move to the Team 980. So Capitals, Round 2, Game 1, Capitals-Hurricanes, Tuesday night, will be on 106.7 The Fan, with the Nats-Guardians moving to the Team 980. You're listening to AWOD on The Fan, talking all things Commanders. And I gave you my draft grade of an A- for the 2025 Commanders draft class. And I'm including Deebo Samuel and Laremy Tunsil, because you traded picks from this year to get them. And it is all about winning now, not getting any projects, getting players that can play and start meaningful snaps in January, because I think Washington's getting back to the postseason. Let's go to the phone lines. 1-800-636-1067. Let's go to Johnny. Johnny in Fredericksburg, you're on The Fan with AWOD.
Hey, man, thank you for taking my call. So I know you combined the Tunsil and the Deebo trade. I don't, so I give them a B.
Why not, man?
Just because for me, that's just off-season moves, not because it's draft moves. Because for me, it's a draft. Like, I like to have young talent available and see how they progress. That's okay. The only reason why. And it's because they didn't draft an edge. And it's just like you said earlier, I am hoping that maybe they pick someone up that's been maybe cut near the end of the season, or I guess the start of the season. I'm kind of looking at maybe the Cleveland Browns. That's who I personally hope for, that they can cut someone near the edge. I feel like they have a pretty good depth there along the edge. And you were talking about the Caps, man. I love this Caps run, okay? When we first won the Cup in 2018, it was more like a redemption kind of Cup run, you know? Went through the Columbus, the Pittsburghs, and, you know, the Lightning. This is a revenge Cup run, okay? We're going to take out everyone who has repeated us this past couple years. We're going to start with the Canadiens, you know, for the 2011 loss. And next, we're going to take on the Hurricanes for that 2019 playoff loss in which we lost. And then hopefully, if the Panthers make it, we'll take them out. Because I feel like even though we lost those series, especially that Panthers game, dude, I don't know if you remember, Garnet Hathaway almost had a three-game advantage, and he missed that empty net goal. And I feel like that helped decide the series. And that's just pretty much what I got to say.
I love the call, Johnny. Rock the red and support the Caps. It's great to see them having postseason success for the first time since 2018. Let's go to Kevin in Virginia. Kevin, you're on the fan with AWOD.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. I'd give him a B, and the reason I do that is I would have taken the risk and traded back to get another starter. Connerly could have been there, you know. If they had gotten a pick in the 40 range and then maybe a third round, you could have gotten him, or you could have gotten Mike Green. You could have gotten Ezra
Kevin,
Ronku,
I'm going to give you a chance to respond to this. Kevin, my take is they weren't getting any good offers. I really think that there was collusion in the NFL not to make a good trade with the Commanders, because Adam Peters is wiping the floor with the other GMs, not named Howie Roseman, with the moves he's made in just 2 years here in Washington. So I kind of think GMs around the league were told, do not make a trade with Washington, you're going to lose. I don't think we got very many good offers. He picked up the phone and he got calls. I just don't think it was good enough.
Yeah, you're probably right. He didn't go into details of what trade he got offered, but
yeah.
Ideally, I mean, in a not collusion world, you would have gotten a second and a three. I'm thinking, but
yeah, but somebody's got to pick up the phone on the other end. That's always the issue, you know.
Yeah. Can I ask you a quick question? Did they have Mike Green off their board because of character issues? Because he was the best edge rusher, I thought, in the class.
Yeah, we don't know how they thought about Mike Green, how they felt about James Pierce and some of these guys that may have had some issues. But, you know, they didn't reach on edge rusher. And I actually think in the first round they would have gone edge if their guy was available, but he went too early. And then I think they could have gotten Malachi Starks, but he goes to the Ravens. Green goes to the Ravens round two. I mean, just – It was kind of unfortunate. I mean, even the fourth round, four edge rushers went right before Washington, and so they pivot to Jalen Lane.
Kennard would have been a good pickup. He went like two or three picks before in the fourth round, I thought. But yeah, it didn't fall that way. But I just thought, without the full information, it's hard to judge. You have to trust Peters.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
I would have traded back if it was a good enough offer, I think.
I understand, Kevin. Good call, man. Appreciate you chiming in.
Thanks.
Phone lines are open, 1-800-636-1067. That's 1-800-636-1067. We'll take more of your phone calls when we return. We've been talking about the Commanders draft grade. Want to continue with that conversation, but also Commanders win total. Before the draft, I told you 10 wins. After the draft, I'd be willing to say 11. If the over-under is at 10.5 pre-draft, I would have said under. Now, I feel confident enough to go over. I do think we got three starters right away in Connerly Jr., in Amos, and Jalen Lane. And I'll give you my thoughts on why I think Jalen Lane will be a very, very talented player as a rookie for Washington when we return. You're listening to AWOD Radio on The Fan.
Podcasting isn't just evolving. It's having a full-blown identity crisis. I'm Allison Marino, host of What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. A new series that pulls back the curtain on the forces shaping the medium now and what that means for all of us who love podcasts. I'm really excited to share the official trailer where you'll hear from some of the biggest names in the space. Ira Glass, Leo Laporte, Guy Raz, Hernan Lopez, Lex Friedman, AJ Feliciano, Dan Granger, and yeah, me too. Here it is now.
I still want to kill the word podcast.
That's not just a hot take. It's a symptom of an identity crisis.
Big company run media, and people are trusting it less and less. It's really important that we're independent.
There's a handful of companies that control the vast majority of podcast inventory that have the vast majority of the gigantic shows.
We left radio behind for a reason. We wanted to get away from all the gatekeepers.
I don't know that you could do this as effectively in video.
Podcasting is at a crossroads. I've watched the industry swing from hype to consolidation to reinvention. But this time it's different. From the producers of the documentary Age of Audio, Oxford Road presents the Media Roundtable special series. What's a podcast? The revolution redefined.
All of us who work in the media, like, yeah, we got to run a business and like, we got to make a living and we got to sell our ads and we got to do all that. But we all got into it because, like, I think most of us, like, it just gave us a feeling.
A three-part series where you'll hear the leading industry voices give their takes on what podcasting has become and where it's headed next. Teaming up with Oxford Road and Age of Audio director Sean Colon for this series was fun, but also kind of a wake-up call. If you love this medium as much as I do, you've got to listen to What's a Podcast? The Revolution Redefined. It's out now, wherever you get your podcasts.